First Samuel chapter 14. Love these stories in the Old Testament. I should say accounts, because they're not necessarily stories. They're not made up. Depends on your definition of story, whatever it is. But these are accounts that really did happen, took place in Israel's history. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14 tonight in 1 Samuel. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. It says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sinech. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, Tarry till we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within as it were an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. So this particular characteristic is called determined. Okay? Determined. Now, when you think of the word determined, does this story make sense? Yeah. Was Jonathan determined to win a battle that day? He sure was. He was very determined to do such. He had a purpose in mind, and he set about to do it with all his might. Right? Does that kind of define determined? It does, doesn't it? Well, by definition, it's having a firm or fixed purpose that's determined. It's concluded. It's decided. It's fixed. It's settled, resolved, directed. And even sometimes determined means it's limited, as in our life is determined, right? It's limited. It has a beginning and a particular beginning and a particular ending. But in this particular sense, I want to focus on having that firm or fixed purpose, being resolved, being directed, being settled, being concluded, being decided, being fixed on something, on a goal, on a purpose, and that goal and purpose ought to be his. His. Was Jonathan's purpose or personal or for himself? No.
It was for the country of Israel, right? It was for his God, for his people. His father was the king. He went out to do this thing. And did you notice all the details we read? I mean, they told us about the different rocks, and these different rocks had names, and they were pointed certain directions. And the place that he slew the men was a half an acre. And it told us that Saul was gathered under a pomegranate tree. Why not an orange tree or a fig tree or some other tree? A pomegranate tree. And it told us that he had 600 men with him, and the priest was with him as well. So the presence of God, the army was with him, and Jonathan takes his armor bearer. Yeah, doesn't tell his dad. He was determined to do something. And the armor bearer gives us a little bit of a hint here in verse 7. It says, do all that is in thine heart. This was something that I guess God had placed inside Jonathan to do. And he was determined to do it. He gets up there. He goes up to those two rocks there, the sharp rocks on one side and the other. And they're talking and they're looking over there. They see the garrison. They see the soldiers. And they say, okay, now, here's what we're going to do. I mean, he's talking to one guy. He's not instructing a whole company of men here. He's got one person following him in this task. And he says, okay, if they say, tarry till we come to you, then we'll stand in our place and we'll fight them here. You notice that? He didn't say they weren't going to fight. They were fighting today. Whether it was there by those two sharp rocks or whether it was over there where the garrison was. So he was determined. He had a purpose. He was bringing the battle to these guys today. It was happening. You know what? He said, if they say that, then we'll stay here. And if they say, come up, we're going to come up. We're going to go and we're going to beat them. And we're going to know that the Lord has delivered them into our hand. Was there any question in this kid's mind? And I'm going to call him a kid. I don't know how old he was at this time of his life, but probably, I don't know, maybe 30, 40. That's my age, so I'm a kid, so that works for me. I don't know how old Jonathan was. But if you go back and read through Jonathan's life, he was a pretty good guy. He sustained David. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He tried to talk his dad out of some of the things that he was doing wrong against God and such and so forth. I mean, as far as we know, and of course he dies in battle later on here in this passage of scripture, but he was a very honorable man. And he even calls his dad out later on in the chapter when he makes a silly thing about not eating anything and didn't, you know, whatever, but, you know, he was good. He was a good man, and I think he was directed by the Lord, but he was determined. And they said, come up here. We'll show you something. Well, sorry, fella, but you got showed something. Because he was determined. And I guarantee you that man that spoke those words is probably one of the first ones that Jonathan took out. You understand? Jonathan was determined. He was going to accomplish a task that day. It was in his mind. It was in his heart. It was in his being. That's what he was focused on doing. And bless God, he was going to do it. And he did. He was determined. And we need some Christians that are going to be determined to stand for the Lord. Are you going to be determined? Are you going to be firm or fixed to stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross? Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory. Right? You know, see, we need to stand up for the Lord. We need to be determined that we're going to take a stand. How many people know that you're a believer in Christ? You know, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they stood up. What did the Philistines say? Oh, these Israelites, they're popping out of the holes they were hiding in. Right? He stood up. They were kind of behind that rock and they had come up to that ledge there by that garrison and they just went, hey guys, what's going on? They discovered themselves to the Philistines. They stood up, and immediately the Philistines knew they were Israelites. Probably how they were dressed. Maybe by the words they spoke. The things that they did or such and so forth. They knew who they were. And we need to be known in our community. In our world around us. In our workplace. In our neighborhood. All over. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. When I thought about being determined to stand up for Jesus, I thought about this passage of Scripture. You know, in the military, if you stick your head up, you might get it shot off, right? Keep your head down. But you understand there's a time that you need to go forward. You need to stand up for the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. It says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore." You know what, Jonathan? When he was preparing for battle, they were in a war. I bet you he put on the truth. His loins were girded about with truth. He put on the breastplate of righteousness. And his feet were shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Hey, listen. He had all these things. And guess what? In the Bible, it tells us that only Saul and Jonathan had swords. Nobody else had a sword. Jonathan had one. And his dad had one. So he took his sword. When they stood up there, they were recognized. Did you know that if you study history, each people group, civilization, culture had different types of armor that they would wear? They were recognizable in battle. It was actually quite unique. I love to study that stuff. It's very interesting. But you know, the Israeli or Israelite soldier had a certain look about them with the armor that they wore. And you know what, folks? When we put on the whole armor of God, we're able to stand because we've done all we can to stand because we're determined to stand for the Lord. And we can do so. Because of God and His Word and His truth and His righteousness and His gospel and the faith in God and the helmet of salvation and the Word of God. And of course, covered in prayer to boot. You understand that for us to be able to stand and be determined to stand, we must put on the whole armor of God. Go to the book of Daniel with me, if you would, please. Can I tell you something about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We know their exploits. We know their story. We know what happened to them in the various times in their captivity. Can I tell you it started somewhere? In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Well, of course, you know, verse 7, "Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now, we read on later in verse 12, he says, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." So he drug Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into this as well. But you know what? I don't think they were hesitant about it. Because later on, we see their story. But in chapter 3, we see the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were purposed in their heart. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that ye do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Now, he shouldn't have asked that question. If he didn't want a gospel witness that day, he shouldn't have asked that question. But he did. And there were three young men that were determined from the very beginning, from the time they got to Babylon, to serve the Lord and to take a stand for their God. They said, "O king, we are not, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." How were these guys discovered? When everybody else bowed down, there they were, standing, true as day. Oh, they weren't faking it. They're like, "Oh, I dropped my glasses. Let's see. Oh, contact lens." Achoo! No, they didn't pretend. They weren't covert Christians. Everybody else bowed down when the music played. They stood there. They were in a place of prominence in the kingdom. They were well known and accepted. The king knew their name. And they took a stand. They were determined not to defile themselves. They, like Daniel at the very beginning, had purposed in their heart. Remember what happened when some people say Darius, some people say Darius. In Daniel chapter 6, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors, the princes, counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. That was actually a lie, because Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not counsel together with them. Now, a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. These guys were good used car salesmen. Okay? They sure were. And they sold the king. It says here, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went on vacation to avoid trouble. He didn't. No, it says here he went to his house and he closed the windows. He went underground. He went and found a cave somewhere. He climbed up to a mountaintop to pray to God to get out of the way, right? No. His windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. They knew it. He knew it. And he did it anyway. You know what that is? Determined. That's determined. Hey, has your boss said you can't bring your Bible to work? You can't pray. You can't do this. You can't do that. Okay. Are you going to take a stand? Are you going to be determined? or not? What are you going to do? I mean, Daniel knew that what was going to happen, and guess what? They arrested him, they threw him in the lion's den, and God protected him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took a stand. They said, God's going to deliver us. They threw him in there. There are four people walking around. They came out. Their ropes were gone, but their hair and their clothes were not singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. I'm just saying. They took a stand. They were determined to stand for the Lord. Well, back in 1 Samuel chapter 14, the story we read, they said we're going to discover ourselves to these Philistines. Okay? That didn't mean that you just stood there. All right? Now, I've been in a deer blind hunting, and it's funny because you're focusing so hard and you're listening for every sound. But I mean, you'll just look down for a second, and there hasn't been anything for hours, and you look up and there's what? Where'd you come from? The deer standing right there. They're amazing how they move and how they do. You know, it wasn't just like they just stood up by the rocks, just kind of waiting to see if the Philistines would notice them or not. They're like, hello? Okay, they discovered themselves to the Philistines. And we know that because the Philistines answered them. So not only were they determined to stand up, they were determined to speak up. To say something. You know what? One of the verses I love? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We got to speak up. You know, a kid that spoke up in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You heard this story? Starting in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And he will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, partly because he was guilty of not standing up himself. He said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? By the way, he did find a keeper. That's a different message for a different day. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He said, I'm determined here. I've heard something. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak up about it. Because this is not right. And he went to the king and he told the king. And the king tried to help him out. He said, I'm going in here. I'm going to go take my sling and I'm going to take my staff and I'm going to go kill this giant. And he did. You know what that's called? Determined. Man, he gets out there in that battlefield. I mean, I imagine David this time probably, 13, 14 years old, something like that. Ian? Well, Oliver, you're shorter, aren't you? Could you imagine? One of these guys or one of the Eraser boys back there come out there and then this almost 10-foot tall man. And I'm talking man. All right? A weaver's beam for a spear. Okay? Okay. You're kidding me. He's going to throw that thing accurately. All right? Yeah. No, I don't think so. Ain't happening. And he goes out there and he speaks up for the Lord. He tells Goliath, hey, you can't say that about us. And you can't say that about our God. And my God's going to deliver you into my hand. Ho, 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 ho. I'm going to feed you to the dogs. You know, I mean, really? And just whoo, whoo, He kills a giant. You understand that we have to be determined to stand up, and at times we've got to be determined to speak up. David was just doing what his father told him to do. And he spoke up about it and accomplished something for the Lord. You know what? Joseph was very similar. His brothers were not so good. So he told his dad. He wasn't a tattletale. He was a truth bearer. He wasn't doing it to serve himself. He was doing it to serve his father. And he went out there and he would tell his dad the things, and his brothers hated him for it. Because he was willing to stand up to his brothers. They threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Because he was willing to stand up to Potiphar's wife and stay true to Potiphar and stay true to his God, he got thrown into prison. And when he was in prison, he stayed true to the prison keeper, and he stayed true to the butler and to the baker. And when the baker forgot him for 2 years, when he was called for, he went to Pharaoh and said, "Pharaoh, I can't tell your dream, but God can." And God rewarded him for it. He spoke up. We need to speak up. In Acts chapter 5, it says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all that they were with him, which is on the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within.' Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then went the captain and officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they sent them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood upon us.'" Well, duh, because you're guilty. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" You understand that these people, they took a stand for Jesus. They were determined. How'd you like to be thrown into prison, be let out by the angel of the Lord, and then go back to the place where you were arrested so that you could be arrested again? Huh. You know what that is? Determined. Determined. And that's what we need to be. You know, in Jeremiah, remember his story. The most maligned prophet of the Old Testament. I have no doubt of that. This man was hated by everybody. And he was tired of it. He faithfully served the Lord, and he said, "Forget these people." He said, "Oh Lord," he even got mad at God. "Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail, and they shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. You know what he was? Determined. Determined. Even all of this was against him. He still had to preach the word of God. Nothing could stop him. Even his own self couldn't stop him. He tried to quit. Couldn't do it. You know what that is? Determination. That's someone who is determined. You know, also the apostles, remember they prayed that God would fill them with the power. And the Bible says that they spake the word of God with boldness. That's what we need to do if we're going to be determined. We need to go out and speak the word of God with boldness, no matter what the price. That's someone who's determined. Our Lord is an example to us. Back to our story, though. Before we get to that, I'm going to get to him myself. You have Jonathan and his armor bearer. They stood up for the Lord. They spoke up for the Lord. And when the Philistines said, come up, we'll show you something. Jonathan answered and said, here we go. Let's do it. He says here, he said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Yeah. He did. You know what? We need to be determined to stand up, determined to speak up, and be determined to go up. Be determined to go up. You know, we understand that our Lord was purposed to go to Calvary. Purposed. Remember what it says in Isaiah chapter 50 verses 5 through 7? The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I know what that feels like now. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Our Savior was determined to go to the cross, to be crucified, and to rise again the third day to pay for your salvation and mine. What better picture of determination do you want? We know the prayers he prayed in Luke and in Matthew, of how he said to his Father, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In the record in Matthew, it says he went and did that three times. Three times. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Our Savior was determined to go up to the cross and pay for your sin and for mine. Are you afraid to go up for him? Saul and Jonathan, they stood up. They discovered themselves. But they could still run away. Yeah, they spoke up and said, hey, here we are. We're Israelites. See us over here? But not till they engaged in the battle did they complete their task. They were determined to finish their course. Not only was our Savior a perfect example of this, but also the Apostle Paul. You understand, toward the end of his ministry, he was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And everybody told him, don't do it. If you go there, you're going to be arrested. And he said, fine, that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to go do it. And person after person told him not to. Let's see here. In verse 21, it says, chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind thee, bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Now listen, just because Agabus prophesied this thing didn't mean that he wasn't supposed to go. It just, he was just telling him what's going to happen to him. And so, those that were with Paul said, Paul, don't go, don't go. And Paul said, I'm determined to go. And I'm going to go. And he did go. And he was arrested. But for a purpose. He got to stand before Festus. He got to stand before Felix. He got to stand before Agrippa. He got to stand before these people and testify of Jesus Christ. He got to go to Rome. And all of those that he witnessed to there. What about those people that he was on the ship with? What about the people on the island of Melita? What about all those people? There's a purpose to what he did. And because he was determined, and because he was determined to go up and to fight the battles, he finished his course. He kept the faith. Henceforth, there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him. And unto all those that love his appealing. Hey, you know what, Christians? We need to learn that determination is meaning to stand up, to speak up, and to go up for the Lord. What else you got to fight for? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All that armor we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, it's all front armor. It's offensive armor. Shield, sword, helmet, breastplate. Nothing back here. The gates of hell shall not prevail. What does that mean? That means we're attacking it. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that they're going to push against us. We're pushing against them. And that's how it should be. You understand that determination is something we need to show in our lives. Okay, these examples, and especially of Jonathan. Now, there's a lot more to this story, of course. But you understand that just that little portion showed the determination of a young man that just wanted to do something for God. What's in your heart? Jonathan's armor bearer told him to do all that was in his heart. Because Jonathan's armor bearer knew Jonathan. If you want to know a little bit more about how close the relationship a man and his armor bearer had, it was a big deal. It was. Remember Saul and his armor bearer on the top of the mountain? Remember Saul was wounded? And he told his armor bearer to kill him. He said, no, I'm not doing that. So Saul killed himself. There's nothing wrong with the armor bearer. He killed himself too. This young man that was with Jonathan knew the purity of the heart of the man he was following. And he trusted him. It's like, we need to trust our Savior. You know what? We as Christians need some more determination. I guess you can call it grit. You can call it whatever you want to. But just good old-fashioned determination to stand up, to speak up, and to go up.